This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yeah. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Oh, baby, you've landed in the Love Shack. If you didn't know where you were, if you're on the side of the road, if you're lost, if you're out in Highwayville, yeah, you're looking for the love getaway. You've got it, the Love Shack, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island with your hosts, Ray Guarino, and co-host and friend and mentor and all those other groovy things, Chris Switzer over there in the cold tundra of Connecticut. How are you, Chris?
The Love Shack.
Yeah.
We're in the Love Shack.
We're starting off the new year in a new way here. We're going to be affable, lovable, the kind of creatures people want to hang out with, not the ones they run away from like in all the other years. So,
right. The slick and exotic individuals that we've strive to be.
And I will say this, yes, that...
what a way to kick off 2023.
You know what? And let's not forget, I'll do it right off the top. In 2 days, January 3rd marks the 21st anniversary of this show.
Of this fine program, yes. January, I'm tempted to think it's the 3rd or the 6th. I don't know. My brain is soft. I think it's the 3rd.
I'll tell you what.
Rob Leonard thinks it's the 6th. I think it's the 3rd.
I always went by your memory.
So yeah, I'm sorry.
And I thought for a while it was the 6th. I think we even celebrated it on the 6th. And then somehow we flipped to the 3rd. And you know what? It's this week. So
it's this week. Right. First week of the new year is the week we celebrate the anniversary of Motormouth Radio.
Exactly.
And its humble beginnings.
That's right.
Therein.
Hey, you know what? And as always, as with all previous years, we invite people to call and get in on the show. And they can do that by dialing. They use that little round dialer on your dischronificator and dial 516-572-7440. Follow us on social media. Of course, Motormouth Radio on the web, on Facebook, and on Twitter, and it's real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram, where we did put some stuff up over the holidays. There was a little bit of a burst there. Now it's gotten back into a little bit of lull, but with the weather we're having, it's going to burst again, I can tell.
Yeah, this is a joy. I mean, we have here in the Nutmeg State, balmy 50 something degrees, and I see bright sunshine out the WHPC weather window here.
Yeah, it is very nice. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the Nutmeg State is celebrating. And you know what that means? Everybody's going to be out walking. This is what happens. We are a walking state here in Connecticut. Yeah, everybody. And I have to laugh because my block has very few vehicles going down it on a daily basis. So everybody finds the way to find my block and decides to walk their dogs, walk their kids, walk their whatevers. There's wagons and bicycles, and there's all kinds of pedaling apparatus going up and down this block, and dogs and cats and craziness. It's never cars.
Cool.
I live on an auto free block. There's never vehicles. It's always so we have the joy of trying to get out of the driveway on days like today.
Yeah.
because there's always someone meandering past us. But hey, it's better than double parking on us like in the old days where growing up in Brooklyn. So I really can't complain too much.
And we're trying something new today. You know, you and I have been working on this project back and forth, and we can only do it when we're live on the air. But just so you know, with Kim's help, our station, our manager over here, I think we found a way. We're recording this, you know, our meeting today. So you may be getting a file later. We kind of made some decisions. We hashed it out before the show, and I think we tried something. So we'll see if it works.
Well, that's the joy of this program, because we've been here so long. We've just been trying everything.
Right. And nothing's worked so far. But yeah, and then if that's the case, then people will be able to go back later and watch this.
Right.
Which, talk about riveting. Riveting viewing. Like, you get to watch two guys with microphones.
Exactly. I'm glad I wore pants.
I am too. And so, you know, let me, again, we mentioned our anniversary. Let me kick this off. You know, every year I keep a record. I keep records of a lot of things.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be the Ray Guarino year in review. I'm looking forward to this.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, there's five things on it. This was a year of, like, nothing happened. You know, some years I've had a full, you know, 25 things. We got something in January, April, August, and September. Done. That was the memorable moments for this show.
Did any of them involve belly button lint? I don't know.
Yeah, the rest of the year is what it was. No, actually, January 3rd, of course, marked our 20th anniversary. That's how we started. Now, not all this is good stuff, unfortunately. But April 3rd. It took us till April to get our first studio guest in 2 years because of the whole pandemic thing and all.
Oh,
there was still questions about that. So Pirate Paul was the first studio guest. We'll see who that's going to be this year. I think it may be this guy, Rich, who wrote a book about the 70 years of Corvette, the Corvette history. I met him at a meeting a couple months ago, and he is going to come in. So he may be the first to do it. We'll see.
That sounds good. Sounds real good.
And then we hit a real low in August. We lost our good friend Chassis John. You know, that was.
Yeah.
So I had to put it as a memorable moment, boy, because, boy, I remembered every day of the week. That was.
It was rough.
And then the 7th, we followed with a tribute to Chassis John, which was another moment. And then in September, we zoomed to September, and the new promo debuted on September 10th, which now I got to say, it's getting maybe a little.
Little long in the tooth. Yeah.
You got to talk to the promo guy and say, hey, maybe, kick this one up.
Got to kick his desk.
Yeah.
But I always, the promo guy always appreciates the wealth of what would you say, raw material that comes in on a weekly basis. So he draws from that first before he goes and searches.
Yeah,
the annals of the because that's basically what the promo guy likes to do. He doesn't want to go too far back. He likes to take the highlights from the last couple of months. But I think the promos debuted in September. Wow, so it's already been on the air 4 months. The new promo has already been on the air 4 months.
Right,
holy
right.
smokes!
And I'll tell you this, you know, we. The raw material every week, it's all great. And you listen to it and you say, wow, this stuff is good. I remember for a couple of years, I had to do something. I had to do, not, I didn't do a promo, but I had to put together the Mother's Day show. And being in charge of that gives you a whole new light of like, wow, just the nuggets that happened during the year with callers and the interaction and with guests. Some funny stuff that really needs to be immortalized. So that's what we like to do. So.
That's the whole idea of the promos. That was the whole idea of the Mother's Day show. Looking back at it retrospectively, the Mother's Day show was like a nugget of the year encapsulating that particular year. So people like you and I didn't have to go leafing through all the cassettes and CDs on a regular basis to find the highlights. All we had to do was listen to Mother's Day show.
Yeah, rewinding those 8-track tapes was always tough. Man,
those reel-to-reels hurt trying to stop them.
Trying
to stop him from rewinding.
It was always hard. You're right. So, you know, I want to give you another little thing. We're going to play Quiz the Swizz. That was a feature we had years ago that where I would quiz you.
I'm glad I'm wearing pants now. That's good.
Now, you know that I constantly read older car magazines because I have a bunch of them, and I like to reread them. And it's cool to see. Sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's not. But I came across two articles today that were kind of telling in the automotive community. You're going to have to guess the year that this all came about, okay? So I'm going to read the article. I'm going to omit the year when it's mentioned. This was the Voice of the People, and it was in, a Motor Trend, I think, a Motor Trend magazine, just so you know that.
All right.
So they say here, in the fall of blank, the past year, Republican Hamilton Fish, he's a Democrat out of New York, so if you knew when he was in office, you could probably figure it out.
Right.
He circulated a questionnaire to his constituents. On it were 13 questions, and question number 12 read this way. Do you favor revising the mandatory installation of airbags in automobiles manufactured beginning in blank year? So the respondents from the Congressional Record on December 8th were 2.7% said no response, 7.3% no opinion, 30% said no, and 59.2% said yes. Almost 60% of the people said they favored reversing the airbag law. Now, we know now that airbags do save lives. They really save a lot of stuff. So that's only one district. But is it in a historically conservative area? It is in a historically conservative area, and it's a 60% margin. So it might be an interesting exercise to drop a letter to your congressman and ask if he has any plans to conduct a similar survey. This airbag business is a crisis point. I'm reading. This is a quote. This airbag business is a crisis point, and the outcome will have a tremendous effect on determining the directions that both cars and legislation will take in the future. So what year were they so concerned that airbags were going to impede on our driving and our First Amendment rights in cars? That's
okay. Well, to answer this question, I have to take a step back.
Oh, well, they're big.
Airbags were installed in vehicles as early as 1974. A lot of General Motors vehicles, not a lot.
No, was it a Chrysler? I think Chrysler had the first one.
I'm probably tempted to say no on that because it was mostly. They were found mostly in Caddy Eldorados, Olds Tornados, and if I'm not mistaken, a couple ended up in Buick Electras.
Mm-hmm.
It was a General Motors thing, and it basically looked like the steering wheel looked like there was a major appliance in the center of it.
Right.
That's what it looked like, this big rectangular box. You couldn't miss it. But there, and literally 1% of production, maybe even less than that, of General Motors production had airbags. And that was back in 74. But then the program was disbanded at the time. They didn't focus on it. And I don't think anything was installed.
Probably because of stuff like this, where legislators says, no, we don't want
right.
it. We don't trust it. We need a congressional subcommittee and pay my brother-in-law to do the survey.
right,
or something like that, and so I hear.
Oh, yeah, so hearsay.
Yeah.
I would say airbags were introduced in vehicles somewhere along the lines of 1989 or 1990.
Well, okay.
I would put that in. That would be my year.
As a side note, Jeep and Al says, yeah, Mopar did, but they were filled with gas that caught fire, and they dropped it in the late 60s.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Al.
Interesting. I thought I saw that on a YouTube video. Well, actually, okay. This was in the May 78 issue of Motor Trend, and it was the fall of 77 when they put this through, and they were looking at the automobiles manufactured beginning in 1981.
81?
So, wow. I mean, all this is for naught. It's just I thought it was interesting that they were so concerned they wanted to litigate airbags, because and 60% of the people of the congressmen who voted said no. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always think, well, what was in it for them, or what wasn't in it for them that they made them vote no? Because we know how politics works.
Well, basically, what you're doing is you're adding a considerable cost to the auto manufacturing business by mandatorily adding these airbags.
Yeah, well, you know what? Interesting you say that. You want to hear another interesting thing I found from?
Talk to me, my boy.
I'll tell you now. It's from the same year, same magazine. The article is Pollution Phase 2. Okay. Mm.
To help like the show.
Yeah, well, I think we're at phase 7 by now. The only thing that has it over us is cows in the
right, methane. Yeah. A lot of the methane show here at Motormouth Methane.
Right. Get a load of this. To help meet the stiff federal emission and fuel economy standards scheduled to go into effect in 1981, mm-hmm. General Motors is planning to use its advanced Phase 2 emissions control system on all gas engines. Okay, although the program is more than 2 years away, because this was 78, GM is taking all the appropriate tooling and material purchasing steps now, which they all have to do.
Sure.
Details and final execution of the system will vary somewhat among the various divisions, but all cars will have three-way catalytic converters.
Ooh!
Yes.
Kinky.
This type of catalyst controls all three of the pollutants that so concern the environmentalists. They would be hydrocarbons, carbon monoxide, and oxides of nitrogen. They were the old real square flat catalytic converters. You know, remember they had to bump the floors up to make them fit because they...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that, I actually have one in the garage. The thing weighs a ton.
Wasn't your Sunbird like that? Didn't that car have like a raised floor on the one side, on the passenger side? I know the Trans Ams, the F-body cars, you know, were bad on the right side because of that.
I think it was a bad design. If you ask me personally, it was just all around. The Sunbird was just a...
Well...
combination of bad designs. Yeah.
The system will also use monitoring sensors, including one designed to sniff the exhaust gases. It sounds like a O2 sensor to me.
Yeah.
And an electronic microprocessor, a miniaturized computer for those who don't know.
Ooh.
Wow. New car buyers may be paying an additional $150 to $200 on the average for the new system when they buy their 81 model.
Oh, my gosh.
GM cars equipped with 4 and 6 cylinder engines sold in California already have the original version of the system, but the Phase 2 will be used nationwide.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what was going on in 77.
It was a lot of, it was just like this program, basically. It was a lot of flinging stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
All right. I'll just wrap this segment, because now it became a segment. And I'll tell you this. Let's think that, and I'm going to revisit this again in August when the actual date comes. But American Graffiti turns 50 years old this year.
Wow. The movie.
Now, I remember riding my bicycle with some friends down to the Green Acres Cinema to watch that movie in 1973. So if you think about it, the movie was set in 1962.
Yes.
So that was only 11 years before it aired.
Yep.
Right? And sure. it seemed old, nostalgic. It seemed like the 50s kind of, you know? But if you think about it, that's like a hit movie now. You think of the scope and breadth of American Graffiti. It's iconic. It's on everybody's list of car movies and music movies, right? That's like a movie now hitting that stature that was made in 2011.
Right.
And you're like, huh? Mm-hmm. What? Really? No. You know? No, just couldn't happen.
Here's a theory.
Okay.
We, as a society, if you think about it, from 1960 to 1975, go take those 15 years, there was more physical change, environmental change, than ever before as a society. And I'm getting deep here for a second. But now, in this day and age, in the 2000s, right, in the 21st century, there's more technological change than there is physical change.
Now, hold on there, Copernicus. I think if you look back, there was a lot of technological...
I'm sitting up straight here.
There was a lot of... And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there was always technological change. The advent of the computer and you know, calculators. So,
agreed. But it wasn't in our hands as a society. It was in the authorities' hands. It was in the scientists' hands. It was in the higher ups, the technicals, the big heads,
the engineers.
Yeah, they had the uniblabs of the computer world. There was no computer for the average individual, and now we all have computers. We all have that technology. Therefore, that's where the advancement societally went. That was the direction that I think it went.
Okay.
So the physicalities. Think about cars. If you look at a, car, a car design from 1960, and take a car from 1960 and a car from 1975, they look completely different. But take a car from 2011 and a car from 2022.
They're not so different. You're right.
They're not so different.
You're right.
They're not so different. They're pretty much jelly bean shaped in different contours.
I'll add this. In the past, in the 60s, 70s, and even the 80s, you could get, if you knew how to drive a car, you could get into pretty much anybody's car and drive it and know how to, you know, make that thing go, work, and function.
In the 60s?
In the early years, right. But not so today. You know, because is there a key? Is there a button? Is there, you know, is there a shifter? Is there a dial? I mean, some of the European stuff, like the BMWs and Mercedes are like, huh? Like, how do you make this thing go? You know, it's not the same. Yeah.
That is a good point.
And that's just to get it to go. Now try and use the infotainment system. You know, a couple of years ago, I drove Mike's Ram truck, which was now, I guess it was a 2018 maybe. Right. I had to just transport it from one place to another, and it was a cold night. I couldn't figure out how to turn the heat on. You had to go through this screen, and I, you know, it's not my vehicle. I didn't know. I couldn't. You know, if it was a 65 Impala, yeah, you throw the lever, you throw the switch, bang, heat.
No, you got a good point, because I think in the, what would you say, from the early 80s up until about maybe 2013, 2014, I think all of the controls on the dash were pretty much standardized.
Yes.
Everything was in the center.
Yes.
In the 60s, that wasn't like that. You don't know where the air conditioning temp sliders were. They could be on the driver's side. They could be on the passenger side.
And Christ went through in that damn push button. Then again, so did Edsel.
Right, exactly. The buttons and switches.
But you can still figure it out. You know, PRNDL.
Pretty much.
It worked, you know.
Pretty much. But I do agree with you. My neighbor bought a Tesla.
Oh,
and he pulls up on my driveway, and it's beautiful. It's white. It's got a black interior. It's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really George Jetson.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he rolls down his window, and I'm looking at the dashboard, and all it is a touch monitor sitting in the center.
That's right. That's right.
And he's like, let me open the door in the back.
Right.
And he's going like, there were multiple functions and multiple menus. He had to drop downs and radio buttons. He had to type in and enter onto this touchscreen before the back door opened.
Yeah. Radio
and
button.
And it opened like that noise, the DeLorean.
Well, radio buttons, but there's no radio you could take out of the dash like in the old days. And I'll tell you this, because, you know, Mike has a Tesla. But now, you know, you hit that ring in the middle of the steering wheel and it went boop, boop, beep, beep, whatever. Bop, bop.
Right.
You know, now you can program the Tesla so you hit the horn, you get a fart noise. I swear, I kid you not. So that's how technologically advanced we've become with our cars.
Right.
You can fart at somebody.
You could fart at somebody. That's wonderful. Those are going to be our future calls here on this program. You do realize that.
Right, right.
My car, you know, hi.
The fart noise doesn't work. How do I fix it?
Right. What's it supposed to do? Oh. Can you do that noise again?
Right.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
Those are going to be our future calls. That is the future of this program.
Well, look, as we're waxing nostalgic, you could say the same thing for the TVs in your house and the infotainment systems in the house. You used to go over, you know, you were the remote when you were a kid. Hey, change the channel.
Certainly was.
Now
there's
the remote. Some houses have an array of remotes for all different things, and you have to figure out which one does this, does that. And, you know, you can actually program your smartphones as a remote with most TVs, the way.
Yeah,
you know, which is kind of cool.
Yes, you can. And you can put your contents of your phone on television.
You can. I've done that. I've shared the pictures on the TV because I've actually done that. It's pretty cool. Which makes, you know, you're just casting it to another device. Right. That's
really it.
Yeah,
ever since we've cut the cord here personally at the house, you don't get live streaming television. So like the 4th of July and Macy's 4th of July parade, you don't get that. We don't get that here. So you have to find it on the phone.
I still can go out to the garage where it's an analog world. There's tools in a toolbox. Most modern thing is the digital tuner I have in there. and that's it. Everything else is, you know, And I do have a
laptop in the garage. I do have one. And it's always been my go-to. It has been the tool of choice this past year. A lot of times information is the best tool to have. And yeah. if I'm in the middle of a job, I let me just make sure I'm doing the right yes. thing. And I go right to the laptop and
sure.
go to Dr. Google.
Yeah.
And see what he has to say, or she.
Right.
to say whoever. About it. Whoever.
Yeah, very true.
Whomever it may be. But yeah, 516-572-7440. That's a phone number. I'm sure everybody is sleeping right now. No one is listening to us.
Well,
I'm so glad we're recording this.
I saw something today I haven't seen since the heart of the pandemic.
You found your Motor Mouth Radio T-shirt.
No, I know right where they are. They're in one drawer. They're segregated all by themselves. They don't go. They don't play with other people.
They don't fraternize with other T-shirts.
No, I had the TV on and I put on the news and they came to the traffic and all roads on Long Island from the East End all through Nassau and then they did the Queens and New York interchange. Everything solid green. There wasn't one yellow or red spot. Anywhere on that traffic map.
I believe it.
And I'll tell you, last night when we went out, I had to take my daughter. I had to go pick up a friend of hers and then take her to another place they were going to go out. So I had to go, across the island. And even though it was rainy, drizzly, again, no traffic. It was great. It was really nice. So, and I know my chiropractor today is on the road traveling down to Florida, and he said he was leaving early this morning. He picked the right time because there is nobody. Well, there was nobody out there.
Oh, yeah. So,
smart.
Two days out of the year, I love traveling. Christmas Day is one of them, and a day like today on New Year's is beautiful. Yeah. This is beautiful.
Exactly.
Traveling in this weather right now is just extraordinary. I would love to just drive down to Georgia just to get a cup of coffee.
We could do that.
Yeah, it'd be great. Well, but let me tell you, I have a lament. Do we have time? Or are we
I was going to take our bottom of the hour break.
Well, good. I can tease it.
Yeah.
Nah, 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 nah. I did something on an automobile that I never thought I could do.
Drive a stick shift correctly.
Still working on that.
Okay.
But yeah, there's my tease. This is a first. This is a first for me.
Well, the other thing you can do that we all love and know and love is you can tune into the German Hit Parade Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Co-host Uwe Riggers plays songs and sounds of today and yesterday from the many different parts of Germany, plus news of interest to the German-American community. Uwe is a great source. And I have to tell you that I have a piece of paper here that tells me RWHPC weather forecast, which is powered by Pantano's Gourmet in Uniondale and Garden City Park. Right now, it's 52 degrees. It's partly cloudy, but means it's partly sunny. And it feels like 52. It's nice. We hit a high of 54, they said today. Clear and green. Clear and blue, I should say. The sky's
clear and green.
Yeah, well, green meaning I'm thinking of the roads again,
I'm thinking of CB talk there.
Yeah. 2020, yeah, we're doing well. But and that goes on. That's what's going on with that. So being that in mind and everything is so nice and happy, do we have the first Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour for 2023?
Well, of course we do. This is Motor Mouth Radio, and we love to celebrate people that we love to celebrate. And the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week, if you ever tried to repair something on your car and ended up making it worse, did you ever snap that bolt that was impossible to get to in the first place? Did you ever attempt to fix that slight drip and it turned into a constant pour? Did you apply too much pressure to remove that one-piece plastic trim and now you have three pieces? Have you ever repaired the car and while taking it out for a test drive, took the side view mirror off getting it out of the garage? Well, if your intent was to fix it right, but instead broke it bad, then keep the crying towels handy, because you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
That's a good one. I tell you what, with new plastic parts on cars, I've learned this from working at the shop and watching the pros do it. When you have to remove dash trim or any kind of everything, you go in there with the plastic tools and you start gingerly. You got to just get in there sometimes and give it a yank. You put your foot on the dash and you hear this terribly cracking sound and this plastic screaming to not want to let go of the barbed fasteners, and you're like, oh, it's going to break. But no, that's just sometimes what it takes to get it apart after it's been together for a few years.
What's it going to do again?
Oh, it's going to just scream in giving up its submission. It's like, no, don't take me apart. And you know, like, this is coming to be, it could be three pieces. And no, it's in one piece. And look at that. Nothing broke.
Oh, and it comes off in one piece. Yeah. You mean there's a happy ending?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm amazed. So I've learned that when you start with the gentle approach. You gotta amp it up real fast because it ain't coming apart. You really gotta, and I've learned that by watching the pros do it.
I was gonna say, it sounds like any given Saturday night with
me. I know. And there's always gonna be a percentage of the ones that do break, you know.
Yes.
But I've seen the higher percentage do not. And,
wow.
So have at it, folks. In the new year, just have at it and rip those dashes apart. And you know what?
Yes.
You know, you didn't tune into Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 5. You're not watching Officer Joe Bolton or anything. We're going to tune into Channel Z for a little bit of musical entertainment.
Channel Z.
As we go into our break. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer on 90.3 WHPC. Here we go.
I am living on Channel Z.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the Motor Mouth thing.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here. Everybody on a Sunday, work on your car and listen to the show.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Chris, I didn't get to chat with you.
This is a great show. I'm checking off all the boxes.
Motor Mouth! Hey,
I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks.
He was under a car or under somebody else's car.
I wanted to commend you on your selection of music.
Motor Mouth!
Cars are for driving, not for eating it.
Even if Ray is talking to Chris on the phone,
Motor Mouth!
In the same room, I'm doing my show.
Get some advice on getting my lawnmower to start up.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And typically, we don't work on that kind of car.
Yeah, I was going to call in, and your guest mentioned my dilemma.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Every Sunday, 12 o'clock, my phone goes, Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Nobody knows your car is like you.
Ray was here early, but then he had to go through this thing that he does on Sundays.
And what do you have, like 9 people listening to you right now?
Motor Mouth!
Millions of listeners, 9 paying attention.
Hush your mouth and play some more good music.
You just went for 2+ hours on Thursday talking about cars and stuff. I want to see you do 2 minutes. Because you are a Motor Mouth, my friend.
I am a Motor Mouth.
Let's face it.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Oh, yeah, stuff falling out of the sky all over the place. Motor Mouth Radio, 516-572-7440. Your host, Ray and Chris, get in on the fun, start the new year with us, and tell us what you want to do. Projects and things. Well, you teased something, Chris, so
yes.
You need to follow up on that.
Let me tell you what I did to the tracker. I've come to realize that I cannot pull anything out of this vehicle without breaking it. That's the first thing. We can't pull anything out of this car without snapping it in half. So I had to remove the speed sensor the output speed sensor on the transmission. Now, mind you, this car is micro size, so you really don't have a lot of room to move around in. So I had to put the car in the air to access the transmission, but I only had to put the car in the air on one side, on the driver's side. So now it's doing this 45-degree lean
in
the middle of the garage. I had to get my hand in and around an area. Let's put it this way. Let me tell you what I had to do. Picture in your mind's eye. Take a running shoe, a sneaker, any shoe like that. Put it on a shelf that's about a foot over your head as you're lying down. Then get that shelf about an inch away from the wall.
Yeah.
Now the shoe is on the shelf, so you can't see it. Now I want you to untie the laces, take the laces out, take the laces in your hand, and then take the new laces and put them back on the shoe without looking at it.
Right.
I could barely get a mirror in there, but I had to unplug the plug to the speed sensor, which was on the top of the transmission unit. I will continue with this.
This light is on, too. Let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouse, and can you fix a tracker speed sensor?
Yeah, I think what you got to do to that is tighten the Finnegan pin on the left side.
The thing that worried me was if there was one of those, you know, of course those sensors, they always clip together and you have to get the, you know, free it. So
Yes.
Glad it wasn't me.
Gotten there yet. Because when you break the clip, then you're back into that world of, oh, God.
Well, you know, you're right, Skip, and sometimes what's worse than that is those clips. I've actually sat there and really had to look at them closely and get a special tool. They do make special pliers to remove those things.
All right, because when I just went through doing the tune-up on the Chrysler, I have the coil packs, and I had to release the coil packs from each one, and I just used a small straight-bladed screwdriver to push in, but they were bare to pull off. They were really tight.
Well, they were never apart either, so.
Well, that too. Yeah, that added to it. But I wanted to definitely wish you guys a happy, healthy new year coming up, and comment on what you said earlier about your somebody was leaving the island today to go to Florida. My granddaughter left this morning from Islip to go to Georgia, and again, today is the day to travel on Long Island, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel bad that I only have to go back and forth. I wish I had somewhere to go.
Yeah, you wish you had to travel
I
today,
do.
Right?
I really do. Yeah, you know, I went to the Christmas party at the UD for the Friday before Christmas. And again, that was another great night. It was Friday, the 23rd. And man, I hit the Meadowbrook to the Grand Central, and it was just free sailing all the way into Queens. It was like, and coming home, it was like 1 in the morning. But
I'm glad to hear that. And the only other side of that that really makes me want to cringe is knowing how many alleged alcoholics there are on Long Island that they can't get up the next day to go out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I'll tell you this. What they're doing here now, which they've been doing for a number of years, is they really do an enforcement program from before Christmas through the new year. And it's no joke. It's, you know, they know the hot spots. And they'll take, and, you know, they take less people off the road than I was than I would think. So I guess people are wising up. But I know, like, you know, in the case of my own daughter, she went out last night, but now the younger generation finally wised up. They're smarter than us. They'll take an Uber, or they'll get together and have a designated driver, and they stick to it. They're really good with that.
That's what was never there for us back in the day.
No.
And I don't know, we were probably too hard-headed to probably use anything like that anyway, I think. But with that being said, that is a great thing, and I know a lot of these places, too, and I didn't hear anything about it this year, now that I'm thinking of it. They had where they would give free rides from a bar to your home or something like that.
Right.
And I don't know that they did the same program this year, but I tried to watch. Well, we were up. We stayed up. We actually did watch the ball drop, which was a phenomenal thing, you know, to actually be able to see it drop for a change. But I didn't really see the crowd in Times Square like I used to see. And I'm wondering if it had to do maybe with a little bit of the weather, and maybe a lot of people aren't going out anymore. You know, maybe they're finally wising up with that, too.
Now, you know, through the day, I saw on the TV that they were doing news coverage of Times Square, and it was packed. And they said people were there from 6 a.m. in the rain.
God.
Yeah, drizzled all day. And they were just out
Aren't
there.
Aren't those usually people that are visitors? They're not true New Yorkers, I think.
You know, not having been there, I never was able to do a poll. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Because it's
well,
on people's
bucket. I know at one point I saw, I forget which version of it I was watching, but the guys right behind them in the audience, so to speak, they were all from, you know, like out of state. They weren't New Yorkers.
Right.
So I guess if that's a microcosm of what you're looking at, because I think New Yorkers are wise to not go get pickpocketed and no porta potties and everything else.
Well, no. You know? Yeah, the real New Yorkers go and do like the SantaCon thing, the Santa crawl, the bar crawls. They do that like a couple of weeks before. And so it's I guess everything just evolves. But
Like you said too, I remember seeing on the news down here that they were showing people were questioning what the big amount of police vehicles were that they were seeing. They kept thinking that there were raids or problems or issues or whatever. And like you said, that's them showing their presence prior to the event to let people know that they're flooding the area with cop cars and you better be on your best behavior, you know?
Yeah, things certainly have changed. Like you said, just to go back to the beginning of the conversation, back in the day, you know, we would usually pick who was the least unable to drive. It's like, good, you're driving. It's like, great.
Yeah, the problem with that was, though, back in the day, the more you drank, the better you thought you drove.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. That's right.
And the fact that I think every car in the 60s had built-in radar for with like a GPS to get home.
Yeah.
Because many a time the car wound up in the driveway and, you know, people didn't know how it got there.
Right. That's very, very true. Very,
good
very
point,
true.
Skip.
Yeah. All right, well... Here's to a good year, good car projects, good. Let's all make some progress. I know I got a few things on my slate that are going to happen that are kind of big, so let's all hope
let's hope we go in the right direction this year and we get some positivity back in our lives and we can be a little happier about being alive, you know? So
exactly.
With that, have a great new year, you guys. Enjoy, and best luck with the show this coming year.
All right, Skip, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Skip.
Be well.
You too. Be safe.
All right. Bye-bye. Speaking of that, I will mention now that we're going to kick off the year next week. We're scheduled already to have Mr. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars back on the show with us. He should be our first non-studio guest. Mark, you know, the show is still going. I think he's in 15 seasons. And as as we've talked to other people who do things like that, shows and whatnot, Dan Short, we just had him on a few weeks ago. I think Dan is now in the realm of where Mark is, being that he took control and he ran the production company from day one. So he was on a major network, but he controlled what was shown and what was done as opposed to them doing it. So, you know, Mark was onto something from the start, I think, and, hopefully he's scheduled to be with us next week and talk about where the show's going and all the recreations. He's doing some crazy stuff. I mean, they rebuild cars, Chris, that even he says these things they were junk. Some of them were in junkyards, and that's how bad they were, but they change every damn piece of those cars and make them, you know, make them live again. So,
well, if you think about it, any halfway decent Charger or Cuda is a $100,000 car in restored condition. So,
and
there's
I'm hoping,
your number you're working with.
I'm hoping this will be the year. We'll see. I'll see a Pirate Paul cruise up to my house in his restoration because he's making some headway. Hopefully he'll get that done. We'll see.
He has a Roadrunner, right?
GTX.
Oh, GTX. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you can't confuse those two, even though they look pretty much the same.
Very similar, yes.
Yeah, only to the trained eye can pin out.
Yeah.
One from the other, but that is true. But anyway, just getting back real fast, I just want to finish this up. That's what I had to do. I literally had to pull the sensor out. I had to unclip that clip that you and Skip were talking about.
Yeah.
The clip not only had to be separated with one hand, but the base of the clip was slid onto a tab that was built into the transmission to keep it stable.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was pretty much genius because they must have figured that some clown was going to have to change this and he couldn't get the two clips to snap together with one hand. So they engineered a slot that the clip can slide into and then be stable.
Right.
So you can reach around with your single hand and snap the, what would you say, the male clip into the female clip.
Yeah.
So there was an engineering thought there.
You know,
so I was able to slide that clip out, get it out from under another harness with one hand, get it all down, and remove that sensor in about 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And most of that time was, you know, when you have to put yourself into a zen moment where you have to just go one with the world, nothing matters.
There are pictures of me taken by other people under a dash with my legs out the door in that zen moment trying to do things like that. And I've said, no, I'm okay. Just leave me alone. I need to just stay here for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you can very well be your own worst enemy.
Yes.
And I knew that one false move would mean I'd have to drop this transmission.
You know, I'll give you a little tip, and this is for Skip, too, with those coil packs. You know, the connectors that have been together for a long time because there was no need to take them apart.
Right.
When you put them back together, use just a little dab of dielectric grease, you know, some silk grease that's made to help the flow of electricity. But it helps actually lubricate that, you know, the two parts of the connector are still going to click together. So it'll be a mechanical bond, which is what you need. But the plastic stays a little lubricated, so you can now, if you ever have to remove it again, you have a better shot.
I had a bulk plug on the Nissan Pathfinder. It was baby blue, I remember. And Nissan has this intricate plug connection technology that is truly mind-boggling, because you have to slide a plastic clip backwards or forwards in order to release the two. And I remember it was so caked with grime, I had to just constantly spray it with WD-40 or Brake Clean or something just to get the grit out of it in order for it to be removed successfully. Because otherwise I'd have to like whack this thing off. It had like 30 wires coming off it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't planning on doing that. I said, you know what? I'm just going to take my time and I'm going to keep spraying this thing until everything starts to move. And finally it came apart on its own, but boy, did it take a couple hours and about 2.5 cans of WD-40.
You know, I've had a lot of situations like that where you just have to work at it and work at it. And then you spray it, then you go do something else and you come back and you work at it and work. And then, you know, hopefully there's other things you can do while you're, you know, trying to be productive, but,
And you know you're your own worst enemy at that point, because you know when that angst from your stomach, it just rises to the top, gets to your head. You're like, ah,
right.
And you just start whacking away at everything. And I knew that was not going to solve any problems.
No.
So I took frequent breaks, but I got the old one out.
Good.
That was a milestone, getting the old one out.
Good.
And now we're going to, after this fine upstanding program, I'm going to go back under the car and get the new one in before I forget what I've done.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the other thing. You forget what you left off. That's why there's a couple projects I have on my slate that I didn't start, because I knew I would have to lay them aside when the weather got colder, and I didn't want to have to leave things in the middle, you know?
Yeah,
I'd rather just wait and just start when it's nicer. So,
how many times have you left a project in the middle, and then when you go back to it after a certain amount of time, you've forgotten what you've done?
What the hell? Where was I? Yeah.
You know, Where was I here?
Now, that happens with audio projects, too. I'll pull a receiver apart or an amplifier, and you dig into it. And some of these, you have to pull multiple boards out to get at what you want to work on. And now, you're stuck because you need diagnostic information, or you need to find out, you know, something, or maybe you're at the port where you're going to order parts and you have to wait, and, you know, you push it to the side, you do something else, now you come back and you're like, oh boy. So, you know, bag and tag, I always, you know, keep the little screws together, and those things are the worst, you know.
Totally. And the funny thing is, I had this grand idea that I was going to get access to the plug from the top.
Right.
So I started to take the console apart.
Ah, that top.
I was thinking of you, because I know in your FJ, you had to pull the console apart.
Oh,
just
the whole interior.
To get the goop out of there. I've got, I don't know, I think the same owner of your, the old owner of your FJ bought this car.
Yeah, this guy was from Brooklyn, so.
Yeah, I found crud upon crud in the process of
putting
it
out. Was yours caramelized to the plastic and metal floor too? Stuck it, like mine was?
It looks like brown sand.
Well, yeah. Well, that's, you know, same thing. And I have the pictures to prove it. I put them up there on Instagram. You could look back. Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. You can go look back a couple of years. It looked like you could just vacuum this stuff right up. Because it was like bagel seeds and bagel stuff. And it was a cough drop and change. And candy and cookie crumbs. Looked like it was all going to vacuum up, but you put the vacuum in, it did nothing. You say, what is that, a picture of stuff? No, I learned that when that stuff sits in a hot environment, hot and cold environment, especially the hot environment, the heat process caramelizes the sugars and brings the sugars out. Now, when they cool, they stick. Oh, so cool. I literally had to use a commercial steam machine to soften this stuff up and scrape it. Yeah, it was, but I said... A couple times I was ready to like, all right, you know what? I'm done with this. Put the console back on. You never see it. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't put it back together dirty. I said, I'm going to stick with this, right? Until it's done. And I did. And I'm so happy because now I know. Plus, you know what? The best thing, the topper, the cherry on top of it all. I was in the truck a couple weeks ago at night, and I put it in gear, and there was a little wheat bulb that lit up the transmission gear indicator.
Which always goes out.
And it had fallen out of the little housing, so it was just buried. Well, I found that and stuck it back in, and now as soon as I put it in gear at night and I see that light, I'm like, all right, that's my payback, you son of a biscuit. The guy like, you made it all dirty. You didn't have a light, and I hope it bothered you, because now the light works. So, there you go.
It's perfect.
That was my moment.
No, but you're right. I love doing that. I totally get such a charge out of fixing those little annoying things that nobody would notice. Nobody would care.
Exactly.
Nobody would care. But they do it for a reason. Auto manufacturers do everything for a reason. It's there for a reason. And if it's hanging, or you can't just leave it. No, I can't just leave it. It can't work that way. Like when I put the new affair back to this new speed sensor back in the side of the transmission, I'm going to make sure that that clip is slid in. It's going to take time, but I'm going to make sure that clip is in that right spot so I can connect them correctly. I'm not going to go through any shortcuts or anything silly like that. It's not worth it. So just do it right. And that's really, I'm the same way. And that's so funny, because when I started pulling the console apart and I saw all that dirt and crud, I'm like, this is Ray's car. This is the car Ray bought.
That was bad. I literally gutted the interior. And it was so easy, pull the seats out, pull the console out, and it's got a plastic floor, so it's made to, like, you could hose it out. I mean, the thing is so utilitarian. But I was at that thing for days to get it the way I wanted it.
You know, it's so funny. There's a short list of things that touch your nerve, whatever it is. And I know that is one of them.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. You're the other one, but that's beside the point. Yeah. We've known that for years. No.
I hope so. If not, then I'm not doing my job.
No, people know that that's one thing they know. This has been a constant for now going on 21 years. So,
21 years.
Yeah, it's never the same. Well, it's,
I haven't done anything for 21 years.
I know.
That's frightening when I think about that.
Exactly.
21 years of this fine program, and where will it end up? And when will we get that first call that says, my fart noise isn't doing what it's supposed to do?
Right.
That's going to be the joy. Right. So we know we finally made it.
Yeah. Yeah, that works well. So, hopefully, we'll have all sorts of good stuff going forward with projects. We'll see if maybe you'll end up with another project vehicle of your own.
I
know you're always flipping cars.
I'm always, I'm always looking for something. And it's funny because prices are starting to come down. I think a lot of car guys that thought that they can get these lofty numbers for their junk realize that, it's not happening. Phone isn't ringing.
Joe just told me that warranty time for the flat rate manual for changing that sensor is 3/10, which means 3/10 of an hour. That's what they give the mechanics.
Yeah, with long tapery fingers or very little hands.
They get the alien in the crew to come in there and do it. So I guess.
Well, I'll tell you, I would have benefited from a lift. Let's put it that way. I probably would have done a little bit better standing up than lying down. But yeah, I think that's a little optimistic. I mean, I could probably do it. No, I couldn't do another one in 3/10 of an hour. No.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. You do enough of them, you know. Like I said, the smaller cars were packaged very tight.
Ooh, and everything.
You know, there's a job coming my way on a C4 Corvette. We're going to be talking about that into the future.
Ooh.
And I know that nice that the whole nose lifts off. The other thing is, everything is tight. I know.
Don't be fooled. I thought the same thing when I had mine.
It was an exercise in really cramming the most amount of stuff in the smallest space. So
yeah.
I fully understand that.
You know what your benefit will be? You'll be able to sit on a tire.
Exactly.
That's your benefit.
Right.
That's it. You can get 1 foot on either side of the inner portion of either the right or the left tire, and you're able to plop your butt on it. That's it.
I tell you what, we're going to go sit on a tire now. We're going to get out of here. Kim is in Thunder Road. Stay tuned. I know you do, because our audience loves Rob and Kim probably more than they love us. But we'll be back next week, and hopefully with Mr. Mark Warman of Graveyard Cars. And until then, Chris, what do we tell the people in the parking lot waiting for me?
When don't follow us home, and Happy New Year.
You got it. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio out. We'll see you next week. 90.3 WHPC.
See you, bye.
Bye.